Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast, Heart to Heart edition. Here's your host for today, Paul Galoro.
It is Love Month, and we've been celebrating all things heart this month on the Living Spiritfully podcast. And today I am so thrilled for my heart to heart with our guest today, because when I think of absolute love and joy and the pleasure of movement and all juicy good things, I think of today's guest. Now, this guest has been in my life so long that I cannot pinpoint the moment where it's like, hi, nice to meet you, I'm Paul. I don't remember that specific moment, but one of my earliest memories of today's guest is when we sat down over all-you-can-eat sushi, and we talked about our careers, we talked about all sorts of things, and that's when I truly fell in love with today's guest. Her name is Nathalie Lacombe, and she is one of my all-time favorite people on this planet. Nathalie blends 25 years of international experience with degrees in psychology and exercise science, and she passionately connects with those looking to improve their physical, mental, and social health. She is the Vice President of the Fitness Industry Council of Canada and an award-winning CanFit Pro speaker. Nathalie delivers joyful movement and insights as a speaker, coach, and trainer. And lovers, you want to check out the show's notes, because not only will you find ways that you can connect with Nathalie, which I hope you will follow her on all the socials if you're not already, but there's also a link to receive her free intuitive movement essentials guide that you definitely will want to download. So please welcome to Heart to Heart, Nathalie Lacombe.
Bonjour. Bonjour.
Hi, my love. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh,
I love you so much. And I mean, the sushi dinner was like one of my first memories of you, but there are so many. For example, I'm going to show this photo. I don't know if you can see it. I'm old school. I have it printed up. This is from when I won Specialty Presenter of the Year at CanFit Pro. And look who's standing there. Look at you with your short hair and everything. I love this photo, because the way you're looking at me, I just feel so like, oh,
you can tell my hands are literally close to my heart because it's bursting. I'm trying to keep it together.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. And I'm so honored and grateful that you're here. And I'm so happy that we get to spend this time together in the heart space.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, it's a pleasure, and I'm excited to dive in.
Ooh, me too. All right, you know what? Let's not delay it anymore. So I have a question that is specifically for you. Comment va ton cœur?
Mon cœur est ouvert. I'm moving my hands for people on the podcast. Yeah. My heart is, I would say, my heart is open. My heart is always open when I am with you, because it is one of the safest places that it ever feels. And my heart is open for everyone seeking new opportunities in their health and wellness. And so I work on keeping it as open as possible, as often as possible, in a way that is, again, safe for me, but also building in its resiliency to keep having more and more space to take in more and more.
Mm. Ooh, I love that. Okay, so this already, I have a million questions that I want to ask, but I love what you said about, you know, your heart is open. What do you do in your life? Like, what's your practice to keep your heart open? Mm.
It's interesting. Over the past years, some of my work has shifted from fitness to wellness. So from, in a way, from physical health to mental health, in a way from purely movement to other topics like stress and anxiety management, to other topics like work-life balance, to those types of places. And I find, for me to be able to always be as present and as really very much in the moment as possible, I need to be fill my own cup first, because there have been times that I have felt depleted. There have been times where I have felt that in some months, you know, you're doing the wellness, you're doing the seminars, you're doing all these things, and at the end of the day, you're like, can I have a poutine? Because I'm done. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, if I'm looking for comfort food, if I'm looking for these things, it means that I've depleted my own cup. So in my daily practice of that, the rituals that I look to bring as consistently as possible is my morning meditation before social media, which I'm going to keep saying it because that's something I'm constantly working on. Morning movement, which is either outdoor walk, or a yoga practice or strength training. And then I've gotten into this really good habit, and food for me, I'm a foodie. I don't know if it's a French Canadian thing. You and I talked about how we met doing sushi. I'm a really big foodie. And it's the place where I focus more and more on nourishing what I need. I've gotten into this habit of making breakfast. And then when I'm finished breakfast, I have the luxury of working from home most of the time. When I'm finished breakfast, I prepare lunch. And then when I finish lunch, I prepare dinner in a way that keeps me really consistent in choosing the nourishment that I need. And then making sure that at least once a day, I connect with someone in a way that is, I'm not on stage, I'm not on camera, I'm not responsible, if that makes sense, or isn't, I'm not being counted on for them, but it's just pure just joy, fun, silliness, Instagram memes, whatever. You are one of those people. And so I really try and make sure I can feel myself when I need that. And I thankfully am blessed to have so many people in my life that can reach out to. So I would say those are the consistent ones: mindfulness, meditation, movement, nourishment, pleasure through social health.
I love that. You're hitting like all the right spots to have that healthy wellness that is all things body, mind, spirit, and the social connection as well. Because I mean, you know, with the experiences of 20 and 21, we lost a lot of that, and or we had to get very creative with how we do that. And I think you know, people making it a priority. And that you're doing that, you're leading with by example. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting because we hear about, I mean, one of the things, I mean, even the World Health Organization talks about a pandemic of loneliness. And so I think from a preventative health standpoint, that's something that's really important. And yes, I speak to, not with, but I speak to sometimes hundreds and hundreds of people a day. Sometimes that's hundreds of Zoom black boxes. So that is not necessarily something that nourishes my social health. If anything, it actually kind of drains it sometimes. I need to make sure that I'm mindful of how much of that I do in order to not feel empty. Because then if I feel empty, and you know my husband Simon, then if I feel him empty when he comes home, all of that filling responsibility falls on him, and that's not fair in a partnership like a marriage. So it is something that I try and work on continuously so that I can fill it myself, fill it with other things, fill it the things that feel like me, and all of that.
Yeah, I love that. And then, so then your time with Simon is spent just cuddling, I'm sure.
There is that. He is a gigantic Australian wonderful man. And yes, there's like a spot on his chest where I can get a lot of that. We did it this morning because this morning he had a headache, and I woke up so much earlier than I needed to. And I just texted him, and I'm like, I'm starving for. And then I wrote cuddles second food, and he's like, okay, should we go to this little breakfast place on my way? I'm like, yes, but. And then I sent the emoji of a bed. I'm like, this first. I'm starving for cuddles and I'm starving for food. And let's make sure that I, yeah. So had a nice invitation for
I love that. Oh, I love it. So as your bio says, you've been in the industry for 25 years.
that.
And I'm sh I mean, I I haven't been around that long, but I have seen a lot of transformation. What have you seen in terms of like where the industry is, where it's going? Because I just want to say before you answer that question, what I love, and this is what I've always loved about you, is the joy that you put into every, like, I remember your classes from back in the day when we taught at the same gym. There was just such a joy of movement and dance. And then even your sessions when you presented at Camp for Pro.
Dance buffet. Love,
yeah. And the fact that you, again, you mentioned being a foodie, and then you would always make it about the amuse-bouche and all the, I love that. So tell me, like, because to me, you've always stood out. That's not what the rest of the industry was doing and how they were coming at least from my perspective. So tell me your journey in those 25, I'm going to say plus years.
Sure. I realized more and more, one of the blessings of having the opportunity to connect and share fitness and movement in the structured environments that was removed during the pandemic. When something gets taken away, I think there's a great opportunity there to reflect on what it means to you. And it really solidified that piece of it for me, which is movement and exercise is a celebration of what our bodies can do. And it nourishes our physical health, mental health, immune health, social health. It nourishes all of that. I have since then become a bit of an evangelist for that, from an exercise adherence perspective, when in reality, I think it was always there. It just, I don't know if I put my finger on it. It was just who I was. Now it's the message that I actually put in black and white and make super, super clear in the invitation of that, because the unfortunate part of it is 50% of the people who begin an exercise program drop out within the first 3 months, which has been the case since I started. Yeah. And I mean, one day, love what I do, but one day I'm going to retire. And we've invented every trend known to man, every piece of equipment, every group exercise class, smaller, bigger, sweatier, less sweaty, hot, cold, and everything else. Yeah. And people are still dropping out. Half of the people are still dropping out. And so for me, from the psychology standpoint, that's what I was always there, was the joy and pleasure in movement and all of these things. I've now realized how or the work I've done over the past few years since leaving, well, not since leaving CanFit Pro, but since leaving my position at CanFit Pro, is how connected that is to the sustainability of our careers. Because I see attrition in the fitness industry, and it's because I, more than necessary, personal trainers and group fitness instructors, yoga teachers, et cetera, come in from a results-driven ideology, which kind of makes fit people fitter, which is necessary, but that just gets to 10% of the population. Right. For me, I'm like, everybody else can benefit from it if we focus on supporting adherence. So consistency is the result that I drive towards, not any of the other quote unquote results, especially physique and aesthetic based, right. The result that, and that's actually what drives it. And I've, since when I studied exercise psychology, learned from then and have been preaching from them that the best predictor of somebody sticking with their workout is pleasure. So when I create programming in fitness, number one, safe, number two, pleasure, mm-hmm. number three, results effective, but it's never going to be effective. It's not fun. And so I realize more now than ever how strategic that was. It's probably because it's what got me into it in the first place. That's what I enjoy out of it, is the pleasure of it, yeah. not the results from it. Right. So the evolution of it is actually going back to what I've been saying forever, or what has been my heart forever, which is making fitness as pleasurable and fun and supporting all those aspects of health, the intrinsic motivation of the boost in self-esteem, of the feeling good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And now that I understand better the chemistry of it, of the decrease in the stress hormones, the increase in the happiness hormones, this is what I include in every movement opportunity for myself, as well as the one that I coach in others. in order for people to get really unstuck from the concept that exercise is punishment for the pleasure of food. Maybe because I am a foodie and I'm like, hey, they're both just as good. You can crave them both.
Yeah.
Can crave them both versus make exercise towards the punishment and food the good stuff.
Yeah, totally.
These are the things that is 100% of what I do now. I realize was always the secret sauce around everything that I did. Now I think it's just more obvious.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the word that you said, more pleasureful. And to me, that's different than pleasurable. You know what I mean? It's just that like everything is full of pleasure. I don't know. That just stuck out to me. And I love that. I also have to say, because I always knew you as on the fitness side of things. And then I was blessed to have you as a student in some of my yoga teacher trainings. And I have to say, just such an honor, first of all, to watch you go from a little yoga baby to then when you did that big presentation at the CanFit Pro Academy, where we were celebrating your 200 hours. Do you remember that?
We
all wore white. You got us Lole yoga mats and all of like it was just, I just remember sitting there looking at you and, well, not sitting there because we were doing movement, but just being in that practice and thinking, oh my gosh, like even like in a whole new discipline, that message of pleasureful movement was there. Do you know what I mean?
Have the class for that because I keep all my, like they're Beatles songs. I keep all my class, my written notes from them. And that one was called Graduation Gratitude. So again, really, you know what I mean? Like the who, everywhere I wanted to, shine gratitude on that that journey that took me towards that.
Oh, I love that. Now, with your like psychology background, can we talk a little bit about your yoga journey? Like, what was that like? And I would imagine with your psychology background and then all of the stuff, because when you look at the philosophy of yoga, to me, there's a lot of like psychology in there. But I guess like for me, I don't have like, I never studied psychology. I didn't go to school for that. I picked that stuff up as I started to learn more about yoga and astrology and all sorts of different philosophies. So can we talk about that a little bit? What was that journey like for you, the whole yoga?
I mean, I went into level one yoga teacher training, not thinking warrior one was the guy in the front and warrior two was the guy right behind him, you know, at war. I didn't. No idea. I know what I was doing. I was doing it out of curiosity. I was doing it out of partnership and started with that and was very grateful for the fact that it wasn't immersive because it allowed me to go through, I think it took me 4.5 years to get to the 200 registered yoga teacher training qualification. But there are things, so I'll tell you, I'll share two things. One of them, and it was the training that I did with you, when we dove into the yamas and the niyamas and the permissibility and accessibility of that as yoga philosophy, not that the other stuff and, going through the other philosophical readings weren't there, but that one to me, and you should, if I had it handy, I would show it to you, how many sticky notes are there and everything else, because I keep bringing that up. But there's other parts of yoga, and some of them are from the practice, and some of them are from some of the incredible master trainers that I had the pleasure of working with, that I keep constantly from, again, an exercise psychology, from really what I studied in psychology is behavior change, taking somebody habit forming, behavior change, moving from sedentary to sort of exercising, moving to sort of exercising for it to be an integral part of your life, building routines, building habits, all of that. And there are things in there that I use if I'm doing stress management seminars now. I'll do a workplace wellness stress management seminar with 600 people. And when I give them ideas of things they can incorporate, I will say, I make suggestions, you make decisions, which I learned from Joy in a yoga teacher training. These are the kind of things that I bring into that. The listen to your body. What is relevant to you? what it doesn't have a shape or form. It's what feels good to you, as opposed to try and look like this pose. Like all of these things that we came from there. The positive affirmation, and I will quote you, and I don't know if you remember this. So affirmations was one of the trainings that I did with you And my affirmation that I had said to you was, my body is miraculous. If I take care of my body, it will take care of me. To which you said, let's remove the if, and said, my body is miraculous. I take care of my body and it takes care of me. And that's how I learned the difference between I'm not going to eat, you know, junk food today, and I will support the nourishment of my physical health today. And the shift of that. And I know that sometimes people are like, affirmations get a bit of a bad rap of like, it's not enough. And I'm like, the intentionality of that, the purposeful, the living life with purpose, choosing that. I talk about it in my social media seminars of like doing that before everybody else's purpose creeps into your day. Set your, and whether you call it a goal, an intention, an affirmation, or a mantra, which is just a positive affirmation repeated, it's setting yours before reading your emails, which is everybody else's priorities. So what are your values? What are your priorities? And yes, consistently repeating those. This is how everything fell into place for that. And so I see how I was always probably quite prime for that type of philosophy, learning, and practice. And I use those concepts in a way that makes us so accessible to other people. Meditation, same thing. Mindfulness, same thing. It all fits into having a wonderful intentioned life. And yoga clicks in really well to that.
Oh my, I could honestly listen to you forever, because all the stuff that you've said and the way you look at everything, and just bring it back to the essence, which is joy. I also remember you at some point saying something to the effect of like, something about taking, I'm going to paraphrase
here. I take my positivity very seriously.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And you feel that. That's what I feel in my experience of you.
I think there's a bit of a reputation of people who are, and this, I actually had that as a conversation. It came out as part of a bit of a transition meeting that I had with the staff at Camp Fit Pro when I became vice president, because, you know, negativity is something that's really difficult in the workplace, exists in all workplaces, exists in all families, exists in a certain way. But it is for me, I am a positive person, yes, and I take my positivity really seriously. I reflect on it. I develop it. I look for opportunities in the language that I use and the way that I work with people. And I mean, negativity sells. Stress sells. These kinds of things sell a lot. So if that is all it is, but living, having a successful and sustainable career in this industry with purpose and working with people who are open-hearted and doing these kinds of things and sharing these opportunities for me is way more important. So I do, in the language that I use and everything else, do that really, really intentionally. It is something that is continual work.
Oh, I'm just remembering, I'm going to take us on a detour before we get back to what I want to talk about, but I'm just remembering where you said, you know, family stress. Remember when Simon dressed up as Santa and came to my family Christmas party and you were there and Andy was there as a little reindeer?
It was like a week after we adopted my first dog, my first pet, and we came in a Santa puppy or something. And I still have that video and I watch it all the time. And all of that. I mean, that will always be something that was really beautiful. And for Simon to be able to do that for your nieces and nephews and everything else. The one funny story that I always remember is being at the Richmond Hill Good Life. And I was at front desk and I hear you. I think I had seen you at the, and I hear you, but you're behind me. So my back is facing you. And you're like, oh my God, I love your scarf. You said to said person who you did know. So we literally, I turn around and I'm like, Thank you. You gave it to me. You didn't realize it was me. Didn't realize it was the scarf that you gave me. And I'm like, I know. Hi, Paul. It's me. And you gave me. That was the most hilarious thing. But that's how, again, you're you just see what you see. You feel what you feel. You say what you say.
Yeah.
Not even realizing that it had been gifted from you. I love your scarf. I know. Hi, it's me, Nathalie. Also, you gave me this scarf. That was a good one.
If I could just say, I just saw you sitting there. I saw the back of you. I was like, I would have never expected to see you sitting at that particular table in that moment.
Okay. And still funny.
That is one of my, I mean, that also goes to show you like what my inside my head is just a monkey on a unicycle. So I sound like, ooh. But yeah, I love that scarf. And it was yellow on purpose because I know that was a color that was, oh.
It's right here. It's the one that lives in my desk for whenever I need a little extra hall warmth.
Oh my God, I love it. That I picked that up in India. That was 2012, November 2012, which was a year after. And I remember this because of life moments that happened. That was, I was in India after your first Canadian anniversary, wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember that.
Anniversary. That
Canniversary, yeah.
Our Canniversary, we call it. Yeah. Yeah. So, see, I'll keep it on now because it lives in my, it's always here. It's always literally handy. I can grab it with my hand anytime.
Oh, I love that. Oh, it's just like this photo is always up there on my shelf looking over me. Oh, I love that. Okay. So, bringing us back to in our conversation, you had said, you talked a lot about, you know, the fitness professional, and you are instrumental. And I especially love what you said, you know, stress sells. I love all the work that you're doing in coaching fitness professionals, such as myself, which just the work that we've done together in the last year has been, and even beyond, because we've worked together before that, has just been so instrumental. And what I love is that I've worked with other coaches before, and I feel like you're the only one that gets me because you lead with heart. And I say, not saying that the others didn't, but the others kind of had that traditional like business mentality that you got to post X amount of times a day. You got to do this. You got to do that. That seems to me to come from that stress-induced place where even in your approach to business, you're coming at it from a do it because you love it place. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Do it because you love it. Do it because it's authentic. And yeah. Again, I keep bringing it back to the sustainability of this and the profitability in it, that it's revenue generating and all these things, but consistently. Yeah. And so unless you're willing to do it, which is, I'll be honest with you, a lot of what I use, a lot of the ideas or ideology that I use in career and business coaching is the exact same stuff we tell our fitness and yoga clients, which is, unless you're willing, like if you want to go vegan, great. Are you willing to do it for the next year? If not, and it's not going to be sustainable, it's just going to bring you down. Building confidence, building self-esteem, because adherence is what matters to me. For example, if we take it, how many posts, how frequently you'll post on social media, and I'm like, I'll say it, what if I say five times? And then if the person starts to be like, oh, I'm not comfortable anymore. And then I'm like, then no, what's the point? Yeah. As opposed to, so you're going to do it once a week. And it's about the authenticity. I had a conversation yesterday with they're actually a couple coaching clients that are launching their own business. And they're like, oh, you know, this is really popular. And I'm like, listen, I'm not an Instagram coach. What I am, however, is somebody who really cares about you being successful with this and it fitting your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's not just about making more money. It's about making enough money for you to not have to get another job, for you to not have to drop out of this. You know what I mean? For you to be able to build this as a career in whichever way it fits into your life in terms. So I'll ask those kinds of things, like how many hours do you want to spend on this? How many clients do you want? And it's so risky to get into consuming content of what other people are doing. When you're thinking about producing content, that's delivering what you do, and you can't deliver what you do 50 hours a week. That's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So how many hours do you want to deliver to that? If you're working on a Instagram post, it's still you being working on the business. And as if you're training a client or you're doing yoga therapy or you're doing any of these other things. And so let's be reasonable with ourselves and understand that there's such a thing as compassion fatigue. There's such a thing as giving more than what we're capable of giving. We need to fill ourselves up mindfully.
Mm, yes. I mean, first of all, what I'm trying to say is, because I'm feeling so much that the words aren't coming out of my mouth. I feel like in our work together, you have given me so much permission to be myself. And not that I needed it, but it was just, actually, yes, I kind of did at some points, because I was similar to what you were just describing, like, oh, I have to be like this certain way. And time and time again, and almost every session that we've had together, it's you bring it back to that authenticity, that reminder of like, to remember who I am and what I'm here to do and what my message is. And I love that about you. So publicly, I'd like to say thank you for that.
It's my pleasure.
I'm curious to know, because I know where a lot of the work that I do and a lot of my messaging, where that came from and why I want to share this message with other people. What is it for you? What was that moment that you're like, you know, this is the vision that I have for the world and the people that I work with? What was that catalyst? Mm. If you're open to sharing that.
Mm. It's hard to pinpoint, because I feel like it's always been there. The same way that people would be like, how do you keep breaking these glass ceilings? To which I'll say, I don't see it. I've never seen it. There's times where I've been on the board of Fitness Industry of Canada. It took about 9 months for me to realize I was the only woman. And then I'm like, okay, now I need to change. But I was the first woman.
Yeah.
And because it's not, again, I think I assume perhaps it's that I'll share this with you. Perhaps it's that I have a lot of optimism. I don't believe there's optimistic and pessimistic people. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of optimism. Mm. And I feed my optimism like I feed my positivity. Mm. And the door that opens optimism is curiosity and creativity. So that is something that can be fed. Exercise is a way to tap into your creativity and your curiosity. Move away from things that keep you stuck, literally, kinesthetically. Do those kinds of things. I had the pleasure of being my, and I know we use that word authenticity. I'll actually pull it towards being genuine. Because if you are genuine, you are way more likely to be fulfilled. Yeah. And if you are fulfilled and you build and your self-esteem is genuine, your self-confidence is genuine, makes you try things and makes you feel safe. I connect with genuine people. Mm. And you are absolutely one of those. So I connect really well with genuine people, and genuine people will get me to try pretty much anything, because I feel like we have that opportunity there. And so I think that is what I would like all fitness professionals to feel. The first ever education seminar I did was called I'm Certified Now What? And even in that, and this was 25 years ago, I did for the YMCA, I didn't even know where it was, which I still do that seminar now from time to time. The first part of that was what is it that you want to do? Now more than ever, Paul, it's over. Well, we had to choose between, I don't know, yoga, step, aerobics, muscle conditioning with 3-pound purple dumbbells. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Now, there's so much out there, and it can get not only overwhelming, but conflicting. Genuinely, what brings you to be inspiring, which is different than intimidating, is what people will connect with. When you are genuine, you inspire. So the closer you can get to that genuine energy, which for me was always accepted. I was raised by a feminist. My father coached my brothers in baseball. He coached me in softball. He coached my brothers in hockey. He coached me in ringette. We all had our initial university's degrees covered. And so I was raised in this place where we learned and we grew and we were curious. And my father was reading personal development and leadership books
Wow.
really till the weeks before he passed away. So this it's an ev it, you're constantly evolving and you stay curious to get closer and closer to your genuine self. And then there will be an absolute plenitude of you to share, holding on to that genuine spirit that you have, connecting with everybody else's.
I just want to jump into the screen and like huddle up against you right now. I love
I'll wrap
all
the
of
scarf over.
that. Oh, everything that you like, I'm feeling like a wellspring in me right now, just from everything you talk about inspired, just everything right there that you said right now has literally entered me, and I feel like it wants to burst forward. Aries, right? Yes. Okay. So a lot of the things that you're describing is very Aries, like the way you were describing, I don't see this glass ceiling. I didn't even realize I was the only woman. It's that curiosity, that go for it. It's a cardinal sign. It starts the whole everything, right? It begins spring. Things start to burst forth. You just seem very Aries to me in that way. Also a fire sign. So that's where a lot of that passion comes from. But you are like, thank you for being my little Aries. I'm trying to collect like baseball cards, and I'm trying to identify the archetype. Like Mo was here a couple months ago. She's the Sagittarius. You're the Aries that starts the fire. So I thank you for being that beautiful little archetype for me. So when I think of Aries energy, I think of you. And I just am feeling all the things. I also forgot to mention, I'm wearing my love shirt today, because I love you and we're talking, I don't know, everything that I feel, and really I'm loving this conversation so much, because the reason why I started the Heart to Heart podcast is because I wanted to have conversations with people that are leading with heart, that are also, to me, living in a way that spirit is living through them. And what I mean by that is that spark of inspiration, that thing that is just inherent with them, that like, I don't know why, this is what I got to do, and then they go out and do it. To me, you're like the epitome of that, you know?
It's interesting. Like I'll bring up my dad one more time, but Papa, and I have a lot because he again an executive, a leader, very, very a great career as a leader. But his speech he did talks was leading from the heart. And Papa passed away over 20 years ago, and I still have these notes. And so it was to a certain extent how he and my mom, who's a big walking heart, how they led our family. And so I had the benefit of being raised in it and therefore gravitating to it in the things that I like to do, in the people that I care about, in the activities that I do, and therefore in the purposeful and wonderful career that I have the pleasure of enjoying.
I just like I want to cry, but because I just feel so good inside because of this conversation and my time with you, for real. Anything that you want to share from your heart right now that you feel inspired to just let out?
Because I spend a lot of time with people who I think are struggling a lot of different ways. I'll say this, it's one of the pieces, because I do a lot of habit forming things and bringing ourselves to different places. One of the spots for that I hold off on, or I take pause in almost every talk that I do, is about resiliency and compassion. We are so much more resilient and adaptable to change than we were in 2019. At the same time, it's possible that our capacity to keep adapting has gotten smaller. And so Sometimes we're like, I lost it on a ketchup bottle at IGA because they changed the pricing and it came home. I put it before and after Facebook post. And they're like, I can't, because we're like, I can take it, I can handle more. It's going to be okay. Like, bring it on. We tend to get into that thinking we need to be strong. A strong person is also incredibly compassionate with themselves. Strength without compassion is a vulnerability that makes us be really tough on ourselves versus be our biggest fan. So as you work on your strength, understand that the cohort to that is there is compassion for yourself, especially if you're in a field where you're looking to be compassionate for others. That needs to be what overflows from the compassion for yourself. So as much as you build on your strength and your resiliency and all these things we've been hearing about the past years, also look at reflecting and having moments of self-compassion in order to be genuine, in order for you to be able to be genuine. Both of them absolutely need to coexist.
I just need to take all, I'm going to watch this over and over and over again, because that last bit, I'm like, whoa. I'm feeling it, and I need to kind of feel that feeling for a little bit more to even know how to respond. I'm literally speechless right now, but I'm feeling it with random words.
It's all right. It's all right. It's I have the pleasure of reflecting on these things. This is what I do. And so it's what I perceive from others and how I want us to help one another is in sharing these kinds of ideas. So thank you for the opportunity to have them frequently with you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So can you just keep on talking forever? Just like anywhere in anything, any opportunity, because the world needs to hear all the things that you're saying, because honestly, just your presence alone and us having, like, I'm blessed because, you know, we get to have our little, like, fun little texts and stuff, like, but when you are truly authentically living your purpose, you are bringing so much love and joy and genuineness. I don't know what the word is, but you are just bringing so much light to this planet that I feel so blessed to
I will respond to that with something that I learned from you. I received that, Paul. Thank you.
Oh my God. See what I mean? Like, my heart just burst when you did that. And I receive it. Thank you. Okay. So I'm fangirling and I'm feeling my body at the same time. So I have three questions that I'd like to ask you just off the top of your head, whatever comes to mind, heart, wherever you want to answer from. Actually, answer from your heart, please. That's the whole point of this conversation.
Hi.
Okay. So what makes your heart sing?
What makes my heart sing?
Or dance in your case.
what makes my heart sing is what I will give the large sense of beauty. I find people being genuine beautiful. I find laughter beautiful. I find nature beautiful. So if I pull it back to the me being able to be in a space to see and identify beauty, that makes my heart sing.
Oh my God, that is gorgeous. Thank you. And I also just wanted to, because you mentioned nature and beauty, I just want to mention the beautiful nature painting that is behind you, which I love. Can we just shout out to Simon for what a gorgeous yes. piece
People
of
are like,
art
what's
there.
That very expensive piece? I'm like, well, I mean, marriage is expensive, I suppose. But, yeah, I have the pleasure of having that everywhere in our space. Yeah.
Okay, because you know my memory is so great. Why am I picturing, did Simon... Did we do art classes with Simon at some point or something. Did I go into his art room?
Yes, probably. Yeah.
Okay. I remember something and seeing the process, whether I was like receiving it and learning from it or just like watching. I remember seeing his space and
his little studio, just bigger here than it was back in Stouffville. But yeah, and it's his space and it's incredibly different than my space. And they are both genuinely different.
I love that. Thank you for sharing what makes your heart sing. My next question, what makes your heart heavy?
What makes my heart heavy is whatever the opposite would be to well-being. So perhaps being for others, being for society, being for that versus understanding what's well for us, because wellness feels a bit stagnant to me. Well-being is actually making the most out of it. So everything we do for our health and for fitness and all of these other things, when they are for the things that matter to us and allow us to be more well, like be in the larger sense of it, that is where it is. So the opposite of that would probably make my heart heavy.
Wow. Can I just even talk about how beautifully you answered that question?
Oh, okay.
No, I just like you again, the optimism, the positivity, but your positivity is mindful that going back to something that you said earlier, it's not this toxic positivity where we're just slapping pink paint on something. It's like, it's not only thought out, I feel like it's felt out for you. Like you've felt your way through that to get to that point where you can say that. And the fact that you're just like, this is, you know, what makes my heart light. So the opposite of that is what makes it heavy. It's just like beautiful. Like you're literally walking poetry.
I'm gonna walk out of here and say that to Simon and he's gonna be like, oh, for heaven's sakes, now we'll attempt, maybe he'll, would you like to take poetry to dinner, honey? How that goes.
Yeah, you are a goddess. You are a goddess. Okay, so I like to look to the future. This question, where is your heart leading you these days?
To where I can be the most valuable and genuine and fulfilled, which is a reflection I'm having right now at this time. All those three. So the beautiful sweet spot of those three: valuable, genuine, fulfilled.
Oh my gosh. Can I just bask in your radiance for...
We'll breathe in it.
Yeah, let's do that. Ready?
Let's breathe in it. Okay.
Oh, because we didn't tell the listeners to join us. Can we do one more for the listeners
we'll do
to
one
join
more.
Us?
Okay. Big belly breath.
Gosh, even Dominic just took a big sigh.
Aww.
He sends his love. Oh my gosh, Nathalie Lacombe, thank you so much for just diving into this heart space and expanding in it with me. I just feel so much lighter and ready for whatever is coming up next. And I know the listeners are feeling the exact same way. I'm gonna speak on their behalf. Because, thank you. Listeners, check out the show's notes because, like I said, you're gonna wanna connect with Nathalie. You're gonna wanna download her Intuitive Movement Essentials. Is that Intuitive Movement Essentials Guide? Definitely download that because I downloaded it. There is amazing stuff in there. So check that out. And Nathalie, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us.
Ça me fait plaisir, Paul. Ça me fait plaisir.
Oh, I love you so much. I wish I knew what that meant, but no, I'm kidding. I receive it. P.S. Can we just circle back to when I asked, how's your heart in French? Did I say that correctly?
Yes, I
Okay.
totally understood what you meant. Well
I
done.
got the gist of
Bravo.
it. Thank you. Oh, I love you so much. Thank you for being here. Listeners, join us again next week. Crystal Eves is coming. We're talking about Pisces season. We're at the end of our journey, Way of the Sun. Dr. Patricia Rennie is going to talk to us about naturopathic medicine, and Jackie Talley and I are having our morning brew. So we'll see you all then. Natalie, thank you again for being here. I love you so much.
Love you. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.